The NFL draft is just one day away, and just like that, it's here. So we're going to break down where the Bengals are picking, who are the best options for the Bengals, and everything you need to know to get you ready for this weekend's NFL draft. Welcome into the Bengals Beat podcast. I'm your host, Kelsey Conway, here at the Enquirer Studios. We are back with new episodes of the podcast episode here with producers Kareem Elgazar and Phil Didion. And we are here to break down the draft. And it's hard to believe the offseason goes this quick, but just like that, it's the marquee tentpole event of the NFL calendar, and that is the NFL draft. This year, it's a little different for the Bengals. In the last 2 years, they've been picking further back in the first round. And this year, they're kind of slated in the middle. And that makes it interesting for a lot of reasons, because it's really hard to predict where the Bengals will go with the pick. And as of right now, Duke Tobin, the Bengals director of personnel, and head coach Zach Taylor are putting together the final touches of their draft board, if they haven't already. But even them, it's probably hard for them to know where the Bengals will be picking in terms of, are these players going to be available? There's so much talk this year about how many quarterbacks will go before the Bengals, how many receivers. So will that lead to multiple tackles being available? What about cornerbacks? Are the Bengals going to fill their biggest need at defensive tackle? We will get into all of it. So let's start off with talking a little bit about what's happened since free agency, because that will lead us to what are the Bengals' biggest positional needs that they need to tackle. And the way that the draft works is it's often a mirror of what the team doesn't do in free agency. So the Bengals entered free agency knowing they needed to get better at safety position. They did that with the additions of Geno Stone and Von Bell. They also needed to get another starting caliber right tackle. They did that in adding Trent Brown. They also added Mike Gesicki, who's going to be a big red zone slot, also a tight end option for Joe Burrow. So that makes the tight end need a little bit less, but there's still some glaring holes for this team after that first wave of free agency. And the biggest hole is at defensive tackle. The Bengals didn't re-sign DJ Reader. They let him hit free agency and he then signed with the Detroit Lions. And this leaves a hole for the Bengals to fill at arguably one of the most important positions. And they're also going to be without one of their best and most consistent players over the last 3 years in DJ Reader. So it was a little bit of a shock that the team didn't go out and address it in free agency, but clearly they didn't think that the class available after Reader left was good enough that they viewed the draft as where they'll fill that need. So where do they go with that pick? Right now, a big name that has been mocked to the Bengals is Texas defensive tackle Byron Murphy. And a couple weeks ago, it seemed like that would be the sure bet pick for the Bengals based off of positional need and him being the best player available on the board when the Bengals pick. But as of this last week, it seems like based off of pundits saying around the NFL that teams are really high on Murphy, that he could potentially be gone by the time that the Bengals get on the clock at pick 18. So where would that leave the team? Then the next most popular pick for the Bengals has been offensive lineman tackle specifically. This is going down as one of the best tackle classes in terms of depth. There's about 5 to 6 tackles that people view could go in the first round. Whether they all will, we will see. But that's also a need for the Bengals because for the last 3 years, they have had a revolving door at right tackle. Each year, they've started a different right tackle. They've bought their options in free agency. And now that Jonah Williams is no longer on the team, they are hoping to find a long-term answer at right tackle. Trent Brown is clearly going to be the starter heading into the season, but how that shakes out for him, he's had a little bit of an injury history in his career of late. The Bengals know that they need to get a long-term answer at right tackle. And so will this be the year that they do that? But history tells you the Bengals haven't had much success recently in picking offensive linemen early on in the draft. So we will see what adjustments they've made with their process to be able to set themselves up to be able to make a pick, because if they don't draft a tackle in the first round, it's likely that at some point in those first 3 rounds, they will address the tackle position. So we'll see. We'll get into a couple of the names that have been mocked to the Bengals that could be available at pick 18. But the other two positions I would keep your eye on if you're asking, what do I need to know about the Bengals for night one? Let's talk about the cornerback position and the wide receiver position. As I mentioned, picking at 18 gives the Bengals a lot of possibilities, but there's also a lot of uncertainty ahead of them. In the last couple of years, when they've been picking in the final five picks, you're able to really set your draft board and know, hey, these first 28 players, it's pretty clear that they're going to go ahead of us. When you're at 18, it all depends on the run at quarterback and at receiver, like I just mentioned. Those are likely going to be a majority of the first 10 picks, it seems like. So how do teams pick after that? It's going to be really interesting for the Bengals. It seems very unlikely that they would get into a situation where they would trade up. They really like and value the amount of draft picks they have. So in order to trade up, they would have to give up some sort of draft capital, and history will tell you that they really don't like to do that. So at 18, they could have options at multiple positions. And as you have heard Duke Tobin say it a number of times, they draft the best player available. And yes, positional needs are important, and the draft is used to address those. In the first round, you should pick the best player available. So who could that be for the Bengals? Let's take a look at some options. We've just talked about the tackle position and there being a multitude of options. So let's run through a couple of the names there. I don't see a scenario where Joe Alt, the tackle out of Notre Dame, makes it out of the top 10. He's clearly the best player in the draft. So it's in the draft at offensive line. So it seems like that's not going to be an option for the Bengals. So where do they go from there? You've seen multiple times J.C. Latham, the tackle out of Alabama, be someone that's been mocked to the Bengals specifically because he can play right tackle, and that's where the Bengals' biggest need is. He's very powerful. He's big. He's played at a high-level program, and you know the Bengals value that coming out of Alabama. He knows what it's like to play in those big-time, prime-time games, so that would be someone I would keep your eye on. I don't anticipate him being around at 18, but if he is, that sure seems like one area and one position that they could really go. The other, a couple of the other tackle names, Fashanu out of Penn State, he is someone who is very highly regarded. Some say he is the best tackle. Also, you've heard about the Oregon State tackle, Fuaga, who that could be someone. He makes a ton of sense. At some point, with this many tackles, one is going to be available at 18 for the Bengals. They just have to figure out when they're picking, is that tackle the best player on their board at that time, or are they reaching just to fill a need? And you want to stay away from reaching. So a couple of the other players that could be available that would be the best players on the board that I would certainly keep your eye on, and it's crazy to think that wide receiver is something that this team could do just a couple of years after they drafted Ja'Marr Chase in the first round, but they have to plan for life after T. Higgins. All signs point to the team and Higgins separating after next season. He's going to play this season on the franchise tag. The team and Higgins were not able to get a long-term deal done last year or this offseason, so that means the Bengals are in planning mode for who is going to be their next number two receiver to pair with Ja'Marr Chase. So that would leave you at 18. If Brian Thomas, an LSU receiver, is available, would he be the best player on the Bengals board? I wouldn't rule out that being a possibility for the Bengals. And I know you might say we don't need more receivers in the first round if you're a Bengals fan, but keep in mind, this is about taking the best player available and planning for the future. A couple of other names that I would keep your eye on that could be available are at the cornerback position. Quinion Mitchell, the cornerback out of Toledo, is someone who is viewed as one of, if not the best cornerback. Yes, the Bengals do have a need at cornerback because right now it appears that Cam Taylor-Britt is going to be this team's lockdown cornerback for the next couple of years. And if they're able to get a deal done with him after his rookie deal is up, could be more than that. But DJ Turner last year showed glimpses of being a capable starting quarterback in the NFL, but then he hit a rookie wall and struggled some. And if you've learned anything about the way that this NFL game has shifted over the last couple of years, you need at least three starting caliber cornerbacks simply because you know that defensive coordinator Lou Anarumo likes to play multiple defensive back positioning groupings out on the field to try and you know, limit some of these explosive passing attacks that the Bengals face in the AFC. So you need three starting caliber cornerbacks. So that's why cornerback is an option for the Bengals at pick 18. So I would keep your eye on Mitchell, the cornerback out of Toledo, Arnold, the cornerback out of Alabama. Those are two players that if it's there at 18, would they take their highest rated player, even though it's technically not in a position of drastic need right now? Or would you take the fourth or fifth best tackle that's available on the board? That's where you see them go into taking the best player available. I don't foresee them taking an edge rusher in the first round this year simply because they took one last year in Miles Murphy, but who knows? Jared Verse, the defensive end out of Florida State, a name that is someone who's been rising a lot in the last couple of days. A couple of other tackle names I would keep your eye on. Amarius Mims, the tackle out of Georgia, is someone who fits the Bengals prototype in terms of a big tackle that has athletic ability. He's just a little bit raw and isn't viewed as the top 1 through 4 tackles in this draft class. So that's when you're falling into that category. Are you really reaching at this position, or do you really think Mims is that good and can come in and start right away, or at least compete with Brown for that starting right tackle spot? Another cornerback name I would keep an eye on is Nate Wiggins out of Clemson. He is someone who has all the makings for what the Bengals like. But I think if there's any way that Texas defensive tackle Byron Murphy is available at 18, I think he has to be the pick, because if there's one thing that you could take away from the Bengals season last year, it was that they could not stop the run consistently enough. And if you've looked at games where the Bengals have gotten themselves into trouble, against the Chiefs, against the Titans 2 years ago, when you're going up against Chris Jones, interior defensive lineman for the Chiefs, or Justin Simmons, the interior defensive lineman for the Titans, those types of guys that can create pressure through the middle and get them on a rookie deal is the best case scenario. Because if you saw what happened in free agency this year with players like Christian Wilkins who hit the market, those guys are commanding so much money. When you have a quarterback that's going to take up a large chunk of your salary cap, like Joe Burrow is going to starting next season when his cap hit balloons up to over $50 million, plus you add in next year, the Bengals are likely going to sign Ja'Marr Chase to an extension. And that extension is looking at more than $30 million per year. You're going to have to save money at some places. That prevents you from being able to spend 20 plus on a interior defensive lineman. So that's why it makes sense. If you can get a top tier defensive tackle on a rookie contract, it just seems to make the most sense. So that's why I think it is 100% the best option for the Bengals. He would be the best player available. Plus, he fits a major positional need. But we will see if he's there. I'm starting to get the sense that he won't be, but that would be the pick that I would say would make the most sense for the Bengals at this time. So let's take a look at rounds 2 and 3 and just some names to potentially keep your eye on as Friday gets underway. What they do in round 1 will certainly dictate what they do in rounds 2 and 3. And keep in mind, they have 2 picks in the 3rd round, which they could use that 2nd, 3rd round pick to package to go up in either the 2nd or 3rd round if they want, or they're just going to use it as we can add another very good player in the 3rd round with our extra picks. They got that as a compensatory pick. So for the Bengals, I'd keep your eye on a couple of these players. Like I mentioned, receiver is definitely a big need for this team. If they don't take one in the 1st round, they're going to take one in the 2nd or 3rd round. Flashback to when the Bengals took T. Higgins at the start of the 2nd round. All signs point to that being something that they would do again this year. So who are some of the names? In my mock draft in the 2nd round, I picked Keon Coleman, the wide receiver out of Florida State. And if you asked Kelsey, who is the prototypical T. Higgins replica coming out of college football this year, it would be Coleman. He fits his body type. He's a former basketball player, just like Higgins was in high school. He's got a big wingspan, and he fits exactly the need that Higgins fits in this offense with a bigger body wide receiver who's not as explosive, but that's why you have a Ja'Marr Chase. You need someone who can complement what Chase does, and that's why you need a bigger bodied player like Coleman. He is also someone that I've seen recently spring up draft boards in terms of could be potentially a first round pick. But then I would also keep your eye on Ricky Pearsall, the wide receiver out of Florida. He has been a name that's been mocked to the Bengals in terms of a fit. And there's also been two other wide receivers that I've seen be mocked to the Bengals a good amount. And that is Roman Wilson, the wide receiver out of Michigan. He is someone who, again, fits what they like. Comes from a big program. The Bengals have become very familiar with getting players out of Michigan. So he's someone who could definitely fit their needs. And also, they could also wait a little bit and take a guy like Jalen Polk, who isn't as projected to go as high, but he does fit the need in terms of receiver, big body, could plug in right away. So I would keep your name on that. From the most I've seen, Polk's about a third round grade, but as you know, those can quickly change. And then let's talk about some other defensive tackles. If the Bengals miss out on the ability to take Murphy or decide they don't want to take Murphy, I would keep your eye on Newton out of Illinois. He has been someone that you've seen also be mocked to the Bengals a lot. But I don't anticipate him being available late in the second round. So that would be something where the Bengals would have to go up to get him, because he is probably the second best defensive tackle. It's not a great defensive tackle class this year. So he is someone I would keep your eye on for the Bengals at that position. And then you get into positions like, as we mentioned, cornerbacks. There's several different directions they could go there. But would they take a tight end in the third round, like a Ben Snott out of Kansas State? Or do they view that as, you know, you've seen over the last couple of years, second and third round has been where they've really targeted that cornerback position. And a name I would keep your eye on is Max Melton, cornerback out of Rutgers. And before we wrap up, I will just go through my three-round mock draft just so you can get a little bit of a sense of where I was thinking the Bengals will go. Obviously, I have said that I think that the Bengals first round pick should and will be Byron Murphy if he's available. And then in round two, I have them addressing the receiver position because I think that that is a pretty big need for this team. And I think Keon Coleman out of Florida State, who I just talked about, is the best option for them. And if he was to be available at the end of, in the middle of the second round where the Bengals would be picking, that would be a huge steal for them. And then in round three, that is where I have them addressing the offensive line. And you might say that'd be too late for the Bengals, but all you heard about was how deep this tackle class was. And that's why I think that their pick in the third round is going to be a tackle who has experience playing both on the right and left side at a strong program like Notre Dame, and that is Blake Fisher. He can play. He has 2 years of experience starting at right tackle at Notre Dame the last 2 years, but he did start off his career at Notre Dame playing on the left side. So we won't even get into why the left tackle position could be something that they don't rule out. Orlando Brown, of course, is the starter next year, but the Bengals do have an out after this next year with his contract. It balloons up pretty high after this year. So if he doesn't play up to what the Bengals need him to, that could be a reason why you want a player that has the ability to play on both the right and left side. So those are just some names I would keep your eye on in terms of connections to the Bengals and why they would make sense. And for the Bengals, they have 10 picks. So it is going to be a busy weekend, and we will make sure you have everything you need to know about the Bengals draft this weekend. So keep it here at Cincinnati.com. Thanks for tuning in.